All right, Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 28. Now, I'm going to tell you about the real Mother's Day. And this is a day, we call it Mother's Day, and we celebrate it, but this is not the real Mother's Day. This is the real Mother's Day. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. All right, that's the real Mother's Day. You got to wait for that one. You got to earn that one, y'all hear me? You got to earn it. It's not something that just comes without any effort, without any sacrifice, without any commitment, without any work. It don't come without all that. All of chapter 31 in Proverbs, talking about a virtuous woman, and he talks a lot about her, but this is afterwards. This is after. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Now, they don't do that while they're young. They just don't. When they're children, they don't realize what's going on. And when they're young in their youth, they still don't realize what's going on, what's went on. It's only when they become parents and when they start experiencing. You know, I think my mother always told me, you don't pay for your raising until you raise your own. And that's the way it works. You don't realize what's been sacrificed for you, what's been given for you, what's been done for you, until you have to start paying out the other end of this deal. All right, let's pray, and then we'll get on with this. Father, thank you for the songs. Thank you for the time we've had already together here this morning. Appreciate the good singing, the good songs, the message in the songs, the truths that we talk about or sing about when we're singing these songs. It's wonderful. My heart rejoices in the truth. And I pray this morning you'd bless your word to our heart for a few minutes here and help us, Lord, to remember these things and think on them in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, motherhood is it's a foundational part of God's order in all his creation, all of it. This kind of fits with what we've been preaching on Sunday morning. Been preaching about children the last couple of Sundays that I've preached. We've been talking about children and rearing children. Well, today's Mother's Day, so. And I've been, maybe I should do like I seen Paige Patterson. He was the president of the Southern Baptist Convention for years, and he was a staunch conservative. Everybody, I thought, you know, that's what I heard and understood, but He issued an apology the other day to all the women that he'd hurt by 54 years ago preaching a message that where he tried to explain about God taking a rib out of Adam and making a woman. He tried to explain what that Hebrew word made meant, and he might have hurt some women by doing that. And Lord have mercy, if he has to apologize for that. Some of the Mother's Day messages I've preached, I'd be in the dungeon and under the pits of hell if that's the way it was. But it's never meant to hurt. I mean, there ain't no way in the world. I mean, he talked about how a Christian ain't supposed to be hurtful and all that. Ain't no preacher that's real ever gets up trying to hurt somebody. You try to help. That's the whole purpose of your life, your study, your burden of your life is to try to help people not wreck their lives and dishonor God and dishonor their family and ruin their children and ruin their life. That's what I preach for. So it ain't a goal of seeing who can get hurt. You know, I've had a lot of things said to me in my life that kind of hurt me when they said them, but it was the best thing that ever happened to me. Yes, sir. And, you know, we've all had our behinds paddled or spanked or switched. If you haven't, you missed out. Yeah. But, I mean, we have, and we didn't enjoy it. I mean, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but afterward. And that's what we're talking about this morning here. Motherhood isn't something that, let me just say this. Let me read 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14. This is what God said here. He said, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Well, now see, that's offensive to our generation in this modern millennial attitude that women, what did he say they should do? I will that, what are they supposed to do? All right. Marry, bear children, guide the house. Now that's offensive. Well, I don't care if it is or not. That's what God said. That's God's design. And that's the way. That's the best way. That is the way that God meant for it to be. And then, you know, I think it's hypocritical. Now, I'm going to get mean, I guess. But I think it's hypocritical for everybody to come to church and celebrate Mother's Day and say all these nice things when you don't even believe in it. Yeah. I believe in it. And I can say all kinds of wonderful things about it. But you can't if you don't believe in it. If you're a women's liberal, a feminist, anti, and they're all anti-God. You got any shrivel of that attitude in your heart, you're an anti-God person. Ain't no better place, ain't no happier place, ain't no more rewarding place in life than to be a mother of children. And have them arise up and call you blessing. And your husband praise you too. What a reward. That don't happen for women who shuck it all for their career, their selfish, whorish life. They don't get this. I said to this morning, Mike, now you do, be nice. Try to do this and be nice and sweet. So, shift gears. This here deal, being a mother, it's something that's hardwired into all women and all females, even of the animal kingdom. I've watched this, and I've watched all of them. When girls grow up, I mean, I even see Dorothy carrying baby dolls around, and she spanks them, and she changes their diaper, and she does all this shit. I mean, and that's nature. I mean, that is something that God put in the different genes between male and female. Little girls want to be mothers. That's why they ought to play with baby dolls, not Barbie dolls. Barbie dolls are about, they imagine being sexy and immoral and all kinds of stuff. That's where their imagination is with that. Their imagination is seeing what's under those clothes and what all. You don't do that with a baby doll. Your mother. You want your child, you want that little girl to grow up and be healthy in her mind and heart and have a right attitude? Let her play with baby dolls, not Barbie dolls. Amen. I've said it before, but I just believe that. I mean, I think it's so obvious that it's unbelievable. It's in the nature of a woman to want to be a mother. I've watched it. I've watched all the girls. I've watched all the people I've known all through my life. And there's this strong desire in a woman to be a mother. Yes, it is. All women by nature have that strong desire. Only when her soul is given over completely to selfishness and lust does a woman squelch that God-given natural desire. You show me a woman that don't want any children, and I'll show you a selfish, lustful, self-centered woman. A natural woman that's anywhere near the way God made a woman to be is going to want children, want to be a mother. Not all women get to be mothers. They don't. It's just the way it is. I've known quite a few that never got to be mothers. But here's what I've seen too. Even those who don't get to be a mother, they find some way to be a mother to somebody else's children. Oh, yeah. We were looking at some pictures this morning, and I showed her. I said, man, ain't this a good picture? It's a son with his mother. She's old and gray, and it's like they're dancing. It looks like, you know, they're standing there just smiling at each other. Yeah. Maybe I shouldn't say all these things. Somebody might hear it and know who I'm talking about. But I'm just saying to you that there was a case where a girl didn't have a mother. And somebody else was her mother. That's right. Her birth mother was not her mother. She gave birth to her, yeah. But that don't make you a mother. No, there's a travail in giving birth, Esther. You're dealing with that, coming up on it. That just lasts 9 months and just a few hours, and that's over. There's another travail that goes on the rest of the time. I mean, you made a baby, you know. Now you've got to make a life. You've got to make a person out of this baby. You've got to develop and nurture and take care of this baby, this child, this baby, until it becomes somebody. And you want them to be the kind of person that'll rise up and call you blessed. Blessed. Men desire children, but not like women do. I mean, it's just not something that's a driving thing for a man to have children. Now, ain't that right, guys? Yeah. I mean, sure, I wanted children, but it wasn't me who wanted children first, ain't was it? No, we got married, and I said, no, let's wait a while. That was a long time ago, long time ago. No, ain't no waiting. Got to have a baby, got to have a baby. I want a baby, I want a baby. And Larry said, it's right there. Women just have that desire. I could wait. Not her. Right, guys? It's different. I'm just trying to point out to you, this is a desire that God put in you. It's God's way. It's the way God meant for it. He designed us this way. This is the way that He meant for it to be, for women to marry. Marry and bear children. Not bear children without marrying. Not bear children and then get married. Marry, bear children, guide the house. And then we go over to Titus. He talks about being keepers at home. It's obvious what the Bible teaches. Ain't no debate about it whatsoever. Men desire children. Men love their children. And they can't, but they can't look at their children without thinking of their mother. The children's mother. You can't look at your children. A man can't look at his children without thinking of their mother. You can't. You know, I see her in all of the children. Not only in the physical looks, but in the character, the mannerisms, everything. I just see it. What is that? The guy the other day at the nursing home told Esther, what did he say? He said, you know who you remind me of?
He said, do you want to know? He said, you sure are a pretty girl. He said, do you want to know who you remind me of? He said, Terry Sprinkley. He said, well, that makes sense because she's my mom.
Yeah. There you go, see. Whatever they become, the children will be owed in the largest part to their mother. Now that's just a fact of life, whether we believe it, whether we like it, whether we accept it or not, that is a fact. Whatever you become, it's going to be for the most part because of your mother, her influence, or lack thereof. She's the biggest factor and influence in our lives. Now, children must have a mother. I want you to think about that for just a minute. You got to have a mother. You know, Anna was hatching out these little chickens here a while back, and she likes to do that, and it's kind of neat and all that, but we got to talking about it, and I've always felt bad hatching them out in the incubator because it makes me feel bad because they don't have a mother. They're just like they're lost. You can put your hand down there. They all gather under your hand thinking, is that my mama? Is that my mama? Yeah, it's obvious. They're lacking. They're looking. They're desiring something that's not there for them. This time I think she made a feather duster kind of a thing, hung it down over it, and they think that's their mother. Well, it made them happy. Yeah. Just to have anything. They need a mother. Even if it's just that. Well, children have to have a mother, too. They must have a mother. They'll seek out a mother. And let me just say some things. If a woman who gives them birth is absent through death or abandonment, they'll find someone else to fill that void. Some of the saddest things that I can think of is I've known little girls. I'm thinking of one right now, and her mother rejected her and didn't want her. And the poor little girl, we just felt so sorry for her because she was always yearning, and you could just see it in her. Like, where's my mama? Where's my mama? She'd talk to her baby dolls and make you cry because it was so sad. Child must have a mother. There, you know, if nobody steps up or can be found, that child will face a life of troubles in their mind and heart because they were not allowed to develop according to God's way in God's design. You're gonna have somebody that's gonna have problems. They're gonna have emotional problems, mental problems. They're gonna have social problems because they weren't allowed to develop like they were supposed to be. Supposed to have a mother. Supposed to have a mother who's there. It's just so different than it used to be. When you came home, mother was at home. When the angels came to visit Abraham, he said, "Where's Sarah, your wife?" He said, "In the tent." When they went to Sodom, Lot's wife wasn't nowhere to be found. She's out on the town. She didn't cook supper. Abraham's wife fixed a meal for the Lord and the angels, but not Lot's wife. She wasn't there. Lot did the cooking. See the messed up deal? Which family would you rather be a part of? Which home would you rather be in? Which one do you think's the best place to raise children? They think it don't make any difference now. Sodomites can raise children. Anything. You can raise them alone and it's okay. Well, sometimes you have to. I understand that. I'm not stupid. But that ain't the normal way. That ain't the best way. A child must have a mother. And I've watched this through the years too, and I see that they do. They do seek out somebody. Somebody fills that place for them. And if they don't, you got a troubled soul, a troubled person. Children need a father. And there's consequences for them if they don't have a father, especially little boys. Little boys that grow up without a father, they lack things. They really do. That you need a father to make a man out of you. A father will do things with you and make you go through things that just mama just won't do. But let me tell you something. Children need a father, and there's consequences if they grow up without one, but a mother can do better raising her children alone than a father can. Generally, that's the way it is. She's the most important for the development of the child. God just made it that way. That's why men don't have babies. Women do. That's why men don't nurse babies. Women do. They don't nurture them and care for them. Women do. God made it that way because that's the best way. Such responsibility calls for special character in a woman. Now listen to me. Don't you reckon that's true? If all that I've said so far is true, and it is, then it calls for special character in a woman. While all women have a strong desire to be a mother, not all women are good mothers. Obviously. In our society we live in now, a lot of them are infatuated with babies. They want a baby like they want a puppy or a rabbit or something like that. They look at it the same way. They get a baby and it's all cute and everything until it begins to be a burden to them, and then they're just ready to throw it out or leave it in the car while they go in shopping in the 90-degree weather. Leave it in home by itself while they go out on the town. Not all women are good mothers, even though they have this desire to have children. Many women are good at having babies, but terrible at being mothers. We all It's just like everything else in life. We look at everything and we discern in our own minds about it. Why does God let this happen? You see some women who you think would make wonderful mothers, and they never have children. You see other women who are terrible mothers, and they can just have one baby after another, never, no problem, no problem, no problem. Well, that ain't for us to figure out. Just like everything else, we don't know nothing. God's ways are not our ways, and His thoughts are not our thoughts. We can't figure out the ways of God and why that it's that way, but it is. It certainly is. We just know that. This chapter here, Proverbs 31, starts out with the mother of the king giving him wise counsel. And one of the things she says to him is, "Give not thy strength to women." This is Proverbs 31, remember, about the virtuous woman. This whole chapter is about the virtuous woman, the ideal, the godly, good woman, the one that you want for a wife, the one that makes a good mother, the one whose children arise up and call her blessed. And before she says all that, before she tells him all of that, she says, "Don't give your strength to women." So she's warning him about getting the right kind of mother for his children. There's women, and then there's virtuous women. There's women, and then there's women who would make a good mother and a wife. There's some who are just women, and then there's some women who make a good mother. Proverbs 31 gives us a great detail about the life and the character of the woman whose children rise up and call her blessed. Now, I said I wasn't going to preach this whole chapter, and I can't. We don't have time, but I can tell you a few things that I see just glancing over it about her character. If you're a woman, and you're a mother, or going to be a mother, and you want your children to rise up and call you blessed, I mean, if you want this thing to turn out well, then you need to pay attention to this right here. Because without this kind of character, it's not going to happen for you. Do any of you know anybody who does not bless their mother? No, yes. I know people who cannot be thankful for their mother. They cannot honestly rise up and call her blessed because she abandoned them. I know people who don't even call their mother, mother. Because she was no mother to them. Somebody else filled that place. And it wasn't because of unavoidable circumstances and things that happened that she didn't have control of. She willingly, deliberately chose to turn away from her children and abandon them. To live her immoral lifestyle. Be hard to rise up and call her blessing. Be thankful for my mother. Yes. If you want it to turn out well, then you have to have this kind of character. All right. She's a virtuous woman. Now, we talked about virtue when we were talking about growing in grace, adding to your faith. That virtue, does anybody remember what it means? Strength. She's a strong woman. I mean, a mother is going to have to be strong. Now, women today, you wash your clothes by pushing a button. Not too many years ago, I mean, I can remember when my mom didn't wash clothes that way. It was labor and work. You know. She's strong. She's got to be strong physically. For what she has to do. She has to bear up. She has to do a lot of work. A mother has to do a lot of work. Any of you mothers going to say amen to that? Amen. Having a bunch of kids and a household to take care of, that's a job. The clothes, the meals, all of the care of the house, guiding the house is a big job. And it's a never-ending job. Like the old saying, a man may work from sun to sun, but a woman's work is never done. Well, that is true. There's always clothes to wash. There's always dishes to wash. There's always meals to cook. There's always groceries to get. There's always all these other things that go with it. Children get sick. Children hurt themselves. There's always something going on. When you got a bunch of children around, it's a lively place. And there's something going wrong all the time. Stuff a breaking, crashing, accidents, blood, there are fights. You got a referee, you got to break up fights, you know. Well, if you do your job right, maybe it won't be too many fights. But children do that. I've heard some say, well, my kids never fight. I'll tell you what now, I'd have to see that before I believe it. I've been around too long, and I'll tell you what, the siblings, a brother was born for adversity. And I know there's two different ways to interpret that, but I'm going to tell you something. I had brothers, and that's all we did was fight. Ask my dad. That's one of the things he stayed mad about all the time. Stop fighting! Because boys just fight. And especially if there's three or any odd number like that. We had this thing when I was a kid, and I had two brothers, and two of us were buddies, and the other one was out all the time. It didn't matter what, if you was contrary to anything, you was out. Me and him buddies, and you're not our buddy. Well, that's grounds for a fight right there. And so it was going on all the time. She's a virtuous woman. She's got to be strong. She's got to bear up under all the things. And women are more emotional. We know that, don't we? But she has to be strong. Let me hurry. The first thing that's said about her, though, the very first thing, who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. And then the next thing that he said that is said about her here in this chapter is that she has integrity and she's trustworthy. It says the heart of her husband does safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. He can trust her. He can rely on her. He can bank on her. She's steady. She's faithful. She's the same. She's not wobbly, unstable. She's not unfaithful. That's the first thing about a virtuous woman. She's strong enough to make up her mind and stick to it. She's strong enough to not be influenced by fairy stories and fairy tales and drama. And junk. She lives in the real world, not in fantasy land. She's got a stable mind. She's virtuous, strong, steady, stable. So her husband can trust in her. The heart of her husband doeth safely trust in her. Then the next thing it says is that she treats her husband with respect and honor and love. How about that? The first two things about this virtuous woman. Then we're going to talk about all she does and her household and her children rising up and all that. But the first thing that's described is how she treats her husband. No amens. Didn't expect any. But it's the way it is, buddy. Better mark her down. Let the wife see that she reverences her husband. I've read it in worldly philosophers and worldly counsel that they will tell you, and they're trying to counsel women in this world. They say, your husband, what he desires from you more than anything is respect. You won't respect him. You won't honor him. You're going to destroy your children. A foolish woman teareth down her house. She's going to destroy it. And that's how she does it. Number one, right out of the gate, not honoring, not reverencing, not respecting her husband. It's out of order. It's not putting things in order. A virtuous woman will do that. She's strong. She ain't weak. She knows what she's about. She's got her head on straight. Living in a real world. She's got a family. She's got a job. A calling from God. Responsibility. A great work that she's doing. Raising these children. And so she honors her husband. She'll do him good, it says. Let me just say what the verse says. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. That's the thing that her children are going to see about her in the way she treats her husband. She does him good, not evil. She don't yell at him. She don't accuse him. She don't scream at him. She don't do him dirty. She don't pull tricks on him. She don't lie to him. She does him good. She's a blessing to him. And she lives to be a blessing to him also. That's why that it says her children will rise up and call him blessed, and her husband also. She treats her husband well, not at the expense of the children. And she treats her children well, but not at the expense of her husband. She don't forget him to take care of the kids. Let him go fishing or do whatever he wants to. I'm busy. I got too much here. No, it's not like that at all. She does him good, not evil, all the days of her life. And she looks at her duties as a mother as her calling and what her life is about. She doesn't look at it as a nuisance and a drudgery. And she doesn't feel like she's mistreated or that she's a slave. Not at all. Virtuous woman. This woman whose children are going to rise up and call her blessed, she don't look at this like that. Don't you think children got enough sense to pick up on that if you resent having to cook them? If it's demeaning for you to cook for somebody else, to do the dishes? That's the philosophy of this world. It's demeaning. Bleh, puke. Makes me mad to hear such hateful, ignorant nonsense. I don't want it. If you hate that bad to fix it for me, I'll fix it myself. Thank you. That's the attitude the children have. And they'll remember it when you get old and gray. They'll remember how you hated doing anything for them, how you resented their presence in your life and their burden upon you. They'll remember it. And they'll leave you sitting alone somewhere. They won't be there to call you blessed. It's serving. You know, we were talking about the kingdom of God on Wednesday night, and I told her the other night going home, you know, the thing about it is how that's going to be. We're going to be. Jesus talked about the greatest in the kingdom of heaven being a servant. Servant of all. Well, that's what being a mother is. You want to be a mother? Don't get any fantasies in your mind about it. It's about work. It's about serving. If you don't want that, if you're too good for that, if you're too high for that, if you step too high to bow to that kind of a life, don't have children. Now pray God don't give you any. If you won't take care of them and if you won't look at them as your duty and a blessing from God for you to have some purpose for your life that's everlasting results. She looks at her life as the most important of duties, much more important than having a career or running around doing something else. You know, I just think it's abominable. All this junk going on nowadays, these women that are ministering and all these Baptist churches that are following after these women that go around talking and preaching. They call it motivational speaking, but they're preaching. They get up out of their pants in front of everybody in their low-cut blouse and so ungodly. It's a very, you talk about being offensive, it's very offensive to my soul. Because it is so wrong. It's so out of order. It's so out of place. It's so opposite to what this is talking about right here. God made a woman as a crown of his creation. Last thing he did, made a woman. And he made her to be what we're reading about right here. Wonderful! Not some twisted, out of order hybrid creature that's half man and half woman and don't want to know part of either one. What in the world? Don't fall in love with that. Don't be infatuated with that. Don't be deceived by that nonsense out there in that world. Man, you girls ought to want to be a mother. Yes. and a wife. I don't know of any higher calling in the world, really. And I don't know of any place of greater influence in the whole, in all of life in this world. You got it. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. That is so true. You talk about being empowered. Try it God's way. Mercy. All right, she's not lazy. She gets up early. I mean, while it's yet night, she ariseth. She ariseth while it is yet night and prepares for her household. She ain't lazy. She's busy. She's diligent. She's up early and taking care of her household. She's not idle. She doesn't sit around doing nothing. She's always busy because it's necessary to keep the house in order and to keep everybody taken care of. You got to be busy. There ain't no time to just sit back and kick back and forget it. Virtuous woman. This is the way the Bible describes her. She's not lazy. She's not idle. She's up early. She's looking after her household because that's what she's here for. She makes sure that everybody has what they need. Clothes, food, attention. She's there. That's what she's there for. That's what her duty in life right now is. Well, if you're young, a woman, Elizabeth, Kim, you got young children in your house, that's what your life is about right now. Most important. Man alive, they shouldn't have to go to a pile of clothes in the living room floor to find something to wear when they get ready to go. Shame! And especially in a modern day time like it is, where all you got to do is take one hand and throw them in there. Well, first you got to open the door. And then throw them in there. Take your bottle. Push a button. Then go sit down somewhere. I mean, so you make it sound so easy. Well, it is, buddy. It is easier than doing it on a rock like I've seen some women have to do. When we were down in Mexico, I seen them washing clothes in the creek on a rock. And they had to do it every day. So there ain't no excuse. You take them out of the washer, put them in the dryer, push the button, wait for it to tell you it's done. Go get them. The hardest part's folding them. Back then, women had to iron all of the clothes. Now, no ironing, no washboard, no rock in the creek, no wringing them through a wringer. I used to watch my grandma. I see these old washers and stuff on, they sell them on Facebook and stuff now. Look at this old, anybody know what this is? Yeah, I remember watching mom and grandma washing clothes and running them through that. It always fascinated me, and I'd want to do it, and they'd say, get away from there. Now you get your hand in that wringer, you're going to be, you know. And it was. Boy, it was bad. You put your hand in there, right through there. You don't want to do that. But it took a lot of time. They had to wash them, and then run them through the wringer, and then hang them up, and then iron them. Now, you get the idea, don't you? I don't care. I know life's busy, and life's a rat race, and we all got more than we, and I don't understand what the deal is. It's a plan of the devil to keep us all so occupied we're losing our minds. But I'm telling you, there's less excuse for us today, and we're applying this to mothers. You got plenty of time to do the laundry without everybody running out every other day and not having nothing to wear. Some families I've seen, that is absolutely, literally the way they do it. She just brings it in the living room, dumps it in the floor, and that's where everybody gets their clothes from. And shake out the cockroaches before you put them on. Yeah, I can see children like that rising up and calling her blessing someday. Can you? Well, she makes sure everybody has what they need. She's always ready ahead of time with the needs of the family. Now, you see that here. She's not always running behind and trying to get things done that she's forgotten and neglected. See, one day your children are going to remember. It's like they sang in the song a while ago. Everybody does that. You go back through your childhood and your memories. The older you get, the more you do that. And you remember. And you start thinking. And you remember things you didn't even know you remembered. They're going to remember you and how you did this stuff. You say, just close, it ain't that important. Oh, it will be someday. They'll remember whether you were lazy or whether you cared. Whether it was just a burden to you to have them around and you didn't care and they could fend for themselves, or whether you really gave of yourself and really tried and cared for them and provided for them and made and showed any interest in them, they're going to remember. And that's going to make the difference whether they're going to rise up and call you blessed or they're just going to move far, far away. How many of you know people who live whose children live far, far away from them and they never, hardly ever see them? She's diligent in business. She can make things to sell or trade or otherwise help with providing the needs of her family. This is talking about a woman way back yonder when they didn't have appliances and all that. She did all of this, and plus they didn't have birth control, so every family had a lot of children. Can you imagine? I've heard her dad and I'll talk about when they grew up, there was 12 kids in their family. And boy, scrapping to have anything to eat and everything. Can you imagine what a woman like that had to cook for one meal? What she had to clean up after the meal? The clothes she had to wash and all of that? And still have time to see a field and buy it and go and fix things to sell with the merchant and all of this. Extra. She ain't no lazy woman. She ain't no sluggard, slothful. I mean, she's busy. She's a go-getter. You know. But now the go-getters are, well, never mind. She dresses like a mother, verse 22, and not like a harlot. Let me just find that verse. Here it is. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. She dresses nice. You get that? She looks like a lady. She ain't dressed like a harlot. She ain't dressed like a little sexy thing. She ain't trying to get nobody's attention like that. She's a mother. She's got her place. She's got her home. She's got her life. She ain't looking. Her husband safely trusts in her, and she dresses like it too. He put it in there. I didn't. There it is right there. Well, I didn't mention her clothing. Yeah, she's not sloppy either and careless. She don't go around in her pajamas all day long, in her nightgown, and she don't look like she's been stuffed in a burlap bag or something, you know, or a feed bag. She dressed nice. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Her tongue speaks with wisdom and kindness. Verse 26, the law of kindness is in her mouth. She don't yell and scream at her kids and cuss them. Her words are health and goodness. The law of kindness is in her mouth. Now, if you don't think children are going to remember that when they get older, you ain't thinking. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say, mother. Be careful how you talk to your children. You want them to remember you. Your words is kind. Amen. You want them to rise up and call you blessed? Speak kindly to your children. Oh, they get on your nerves. They frustrate you. They just break stuff, spill stuff. They just make a mess everywhere they go. You have a hard time teaching them to obey, but if you'll do that early on, it'll save you lots of grief on down the road. But, you know, you speak kindly to them anyway. Patience. Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy. I think patience, long-suffering. Be long-suffering and patient with the children. Her tongue speaks with wisdom, too. She's not a drama queen. She's not living in fantasy land. If you boys go and marry some little old flitty girl who's a who lives in fantasy dreamland, drama land, you're going to have a messed up life. You're going to have messed up children. You're going to have woe and sorrow down the road. You better find a woman that's got some wisdom, that speaks with wisdom, that lives in the real world, not in drama, not in dreamland, fantasy, romance, reality. A woman that's strong, yeah, empowered because she's doing what God made her to do. Her tongue speaks with wisdom. She fears and serves the Lord in verse 30. But a woman that feareth the Lord says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. She's not praised for her physical beauty. She's not praised because she's so well favored. She's praised because she was wise and godly. All right. All this is what makes her children rise up and call her blessed. We have what we call Mother's Day, and I said this at the beginning to honor mothers, but the real Mother's Day is when her children rise up and call her blessed. Ain't that right? Oh, yes. The reward. The reward. You got to wait for it. You got to wait long. You got to put a lot into it, but the reward will come. If you're a virtuous woman, and if you look to the Word of God as your guide, and you live that way, you got a reward coming. Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do. Until then, ladies, you're investing toward that day when they rise up and call you blessed. You're investing. See, Esther, you're just at the entering end of this thing. But it happens pretty quick, let me tell you. It ain't long till children grow up. They grow up fast. And life goes on. And there's a lot of things happen in life. But it may seem that nobody appreciates or even knows all that you do. But they will one day. They'll realize it one day. You need to take comfort in that. You need to remember and you need to be reminded of that often. I know. And I can see it. And I understand how that it gets discouraging because of all the work and all of the burden of it all, and nobody seems to ever notice. Well, they do. They don't really know it, and you don't really see it. You got to wait for that. You got to wait for it. Someday they're going to remember. Someday they're going to start adding it all up. Someday they're going to look at your wrinkled hands and realize how they got that way. And that it was mostly for them. And then they'll rise up and call you blessing, if that's really the way it was. Be satisfied to do what God's called you to do without the praise for it now. Your day will come. Your Mother's Day will come. You'll get your reward. Most of the time, it's only when children grow up and have children of their own that they begin to recollect and recall all that their mother did for them. It's then that they begin to realize what a great person you really are. So this is one of those parts of life where you invest yourself and you obey God and you wait for your reward. Children grow up, and then they have children of their own. And then they have to do the laundry. They have to do the cooking. They have to do the providing. They have to do all of that. They have to sit up at night. How many have sat up at night with your baby so tired you don't know what to do and remembered? It occurred to you. Somehow it occurred to you, this is what my mom did. I never even thought about it until now. You don't. That's just the way it is now. It's the way it is. But while they're sitting up at night and the babies are crying and they got a sick baby and they got all this, and then they'll, that's what makes them go back and take account and remember. It's then that they begin to realize what you did for them. Then it says her husband also calls her blessed. Time is what brings that out also. A godly man is thankful always for a virtuous wife. who's a good mother to his children. But time magnifies that respect he has for her and the love he has for her. It does. Because when the children grow up and they begin to recognize, it makes him understand better too. And he praises her too. And it's when the children rise up and call her blessed that he realizes more of the fullness of what a great blessing she has been to his life also. You see, we're all living our life. And we're all sowing as we go. Remember that. Every one of you. I don't care how young you are, how old you are. I mean, whether you're a man or a woman or a boy or a girl. Think about it. You're sowing. You're living your life. You're investing your strength and your time in yourself or in others around you. If you do it for yourself, you're going to, it's just like Jesus said, you're going to lose it all. When you get to the other end of it, you're going to find yourself alone. If you invest it in your children, you'll find that they'll rise up and call you blessed. And all you got to do to understand the truth of that is hang around a nursing home a little while. Or go to a hospital and look around there for a while. That's what you find. There's some nursing home people up, they got so much company that you can't hardly work around them. Others never have anybody visit them. You can go to a hospital and there's some people where there ain't room to get in the room. People standing in the hallway because somebody's in the hospital. Mother's in the hospital. Dad's in the hospital or something. Other people go in and leave. And like when we were up there that night at Farmington, that there was a woman there that had been in the hospital and she couldn't even, there was nobody to come and pick her up. And she was there crying and they were trying to help her and nobody. She had nobody. Nobody. Well, now there's a reason for that. Your heart goes out to people like that and you feel sorry for them and bad for them, but you don't want your life to end up like that. Especially if you have children. What's the sad thing is when you have children and you give them birth and you take care of them for, and then it turns out like that. Now there's a key to this thing. It's like I said, some women are mothers and some are not. We're talking about Mother's Day here. You're going to be a mother? Be a mother. Do it God's way. Look to him for guidance and counsel in it and wisdom and understanding about how to do it. Because you don't know how. There's more to it. It don't just all come natural. You're going to have a baby. Yeah, it'll be born. But that's only the starting of it. And there's a lot of responsibility after that. All right, real quick. All of God's divine design and order is about tying a knot. Did you ever think of it like this? We say when people get married, they're tying a knot. Well, that knot ain't tied. I remember when Sarah got married, I did the service. Brother Parker went out the door and he said, "Boy, you really tied that knot tight." Well, I tried to, but I couldn't do that. But all of our life, that's what we're doing. We're fooling around tying a knot. What do you do right at the end of the knot? When you get it all done, and you cinch it so it's done. It ain't coming undone. You tied a knot. You fixed it where it won't come undone. And that's what we're doing. That's what you're doing as a mother. Think of it that way. You're tying a knot. A lot goes into a life. Most of what goes into it comes from a mother. You just need to realize that. Your mother teaches you how to go to the bathroom in the bathroom instead of in your clothes. She teaches you how to feed yourself, how to walk, how to talk. She teaches you how to think before anybody else does. Oh, Lord. She teaches you more about what's right and wrong than anybody else does. She has the most influence in that in a child. So important. It's a lot goes into it. Don't ever get weary of the drudgery and the toil of raising children and and caring for a household. Your reward's coming if you hang in there faithful. Just remember. When your children rise up and call you blessed, that's kind of like when the knot's just cinched. You're glad. You don't regret one meal, one day that you work so hard. You don't regret one thing that you went through with these children. You're glad. You're not depressed. You're not discouraged. No, it's just that's the fulfillment of it. It's the glad day. That's what you want your life to turn out as. Now this applies to, we're talking about mothers here, but it really applies to all of us in all of our life. We're investing. Investing in other people, not yourself, if you want this kind of reward. Tie the knot tightly. Someday you'll be forevermore thankful that you did. Let me read you this little thing here, and then we'll be done. Yep. Susanna Wesley was a mother that we've all heard about. Just one little short little thing here. It says she was the wife of a country curate. She brought up her large family, 26 children. She brought up her large family so well, and she was John Wesley's mother, Charles Wesley's mother. We sing his songs in our hymn book here. There ain't nobody that knows anything about Christianity that don't know who John Wesley was and Charles Wesley. She was their mother. I think John was the 19th, wasn't he? Or was he the 25th child? Anyway, let me go ahead and read it. She brought up her large family so well that all Christendom has cause to bless her name. This is what we've been talking about all morning. At her death, her children gathered around her bed and sang a hymn of praise in gratitude to God for such a mother. Now that's the way to leave the world. Her children gathered around her bed. How in the world did they do that? There were so many of them. How did you get them in there? 25, 26 of them singing together. That's more than we got in church a lot of times. Praising God for such a mother. How much work do you think she had to do? How many days do you think she got a little down in the dumps because she was overwhelmed with all the work? And how many times you reckon that she thought they don't care, they're so ungrateful? You reckon she ever thought that? Nobody cares. Nobody even sees. Nobody knows what I got to do. Well, maybe she did once in a while, but she overcame that. Went on investing anyway. Proverbs 31:31. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Amen. Makes life worth living if you just look at it the right way. If you get a good, healthy outlook on things, you women I'm talking to, yeah. I mean, you got a privileged place. I don't know why any woman wouldn't want to be a woman. When I look at all this, I just think, man, what a... What a wonderful thing to be able to do. Have somebody else protect you from the world and everything out there. Have somebody else to take care of you and provide for you while you do this. And then your children rise up and call you blessed, and your husband also. He'll praise you in the gates. And everybody will know. You were a wonderful person, a wonderful mother. Yeah. Let's stand. All right. Let's have a word of prayer, and then I'll let you sit down a minute. We got to hurry here. Father, we thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the wisdom that's here in these verses that we read this morning. I pray, Lord, for each mother here. Please, Lord, help them, each mother to be. Some are here that are going to be mothers unless you come for us right away. And I pray for them that you give them wisdom. Lord, give them a heart that's after thee to do this great thing, this great task, greatest thing in life here for a woman being a mother. Help them to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and bring them up that way. Lord, help them to not despair and just get discouraged, but help them to be strong and to persevere. And Lord, I pray they'd all see the day when their own children will rise up and call them blessing. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful truths that are here in Jesus' name. Amen.